Thank you, Gemara Tov. Being Motzei Yom Kippur, this was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos, and Hashem was showing his mercy with us. Because you might ask, why is it that we pray for rain later on and not on Yom Kippur itself, when the gates of mercy are open? But we are going through a stage where we have done our teshuva, hopefully, and so we would expect more mercy. But just as a prelude, we said this morning in our davening, Slach lono avinu ki chotonu, please Hashem forgive us for our sins. You know, we've just surely emptied our bags of all our sins. Why are we now saying this morning, please Hashem forgive us for our sins? And well, maybe somebody was talking this morning during the davening, so we say Slach lono avinu ki chotonu. Alright, but then the question is, why did we say last night in Maariv, Slach lono avinu ki chotonu? Straight after Ne'ilah, please Hashem forgive us for our sins. Well, maybe you didn't have the right kavanah during the Kriyas Shema Shel Aravis. Alright, so the Rav Goldwicht, the ex-Rosh Yeshiva of Kerbi Avner, once asked, but we say at the beginning of Maariv, V'hu rachum ichaper ovon. You know, we just finished, we got a clean slate after Ne'ilah, and we say, V'hu rachum ichaper ovon, we're already then talking about our sins. So he said, maybe there's a certain person who, at the end of Ne'ilah, goes, ah, thank goodness that's over. So the prayer continues, but when we talk about the prayer for rain, it's not quite the same thing as Tfilas Geshem. I know you kindly announced, Henry, this morning that I'll talk about Tfilas Geshem, which is what we do on Shemini Atzeret. But on Shemini Atzeret, are we actually praying for rain? And there are a number of questions. Why didn't we start praying for rain already when the gates of mercy are open, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Why is it that if Sukkot, the world is judged according to rain on Sukkot, why don't we start at the beginning of Sukkot? We leave it towards the end. And then, that is Mashiv Rachum Reda Goshem. But Mashiv Rachum Reda Goshem is not actually asking for rain, even though we think it is. We're asking for rain when we say the same Talmud Motor. Please Hashem give us rain in the Boruch Aleinu, which we don't start till later. In Eretz Yisrael it's on the 7th of Cheshvan, and here in Chutz Loretz we don't start till the 5th or whatever of December. So we've got all these different dates. Why is that? And that's what we're going to look into. So those poets here who were hoping that I would go through Afbari and the detailed prayer we say on Shmiat Seres, we'd have to leave that for another time. But I'd like to address ourselves to these questions. And the Mishnah, the beginning of Tanis, asks, Memosa maskirin gevuras geshomim. When do we start maskirin? That's not mispalanin. Maskirin is to note, to remind, to make mention of gevuros geshomim. Note the word gevuros. And in the broch of Ato Gibor Olam Hashem in Hashmona Esra, which ends with Mechaya HaMesim, resurrecting the dead, where there we talk about Mashiv Rachum Reda Goshem. Why do we talk about Mashiv Rachum Reda Goshem when we talk about Techiyas HaMesim? Because just like Techiyas HaMesim is about resurrection and life and permanent life, so rain is that which gives us life and sustenance in a most permanent way. Rabbi Eliezer says, Miyom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, we do start praying for, or we do start Mashiv Rachum Reda Goshem at the very beginning of Sukkot. Sukkot is the beginning of the rainy season. Sukkot is the time that we obviously want to have rain. So surely he says from the first day. Rabbi Yeshua argues with him. He says, Miyom Tov Acharon Shel Chag. On the last day of Chag, which is Shemini Atzeres. Amala Rabbi Yeshua, however, Enger Shomim, Elo Simon Kalala. He says, how can you ask for rain at the beginning of Sukkot? Rain on Sukkot? Who wants to sit in a sukkah on Sukkot when it's raining? So surely we should not say anything about rain. Alright, well, we'll come to that in a moment. Actually, in an immediate answer, if you could listen online to last year's shiur when we spoke about sukkah in the rain, there is no mitzvah to sit in the rain when you are mitztayer. So that's what we dealt with already. Okay. The dialogue between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is that, you know, Ein Geshomim Elosim and Kalala Bechag. To have rain on Sukkot is like a curse. So why Loma Maskir? Omalo, Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Afani Lo Omar Tzidishol. I didn't say you asked for rain on the first day of Sukkot. I just said we're going to be mazkir el olah hazkir mashir rachamad goshem bonoso at its right time, at the right season. On Malone came the olam yehi mazkir. So he said, if that's the case, if you say you can say mashir rachamad goshem at the beginning of Sukkot, then you might as well say it the whole year round. If you want to just praise Hashem, then you know why make a season out of it? If you're going to make a season out of it, for goodness sake, we're not going to say anything about rain until the end. But nevertheless, afal pi kein, we do allude to rain a lot during Sukkot in a subtle sort of way. The whole idea of the Arba Minim, Alulav and Esrog, Adasim Arabs, they're dependent on rain. And so by bringing them on Sukkot, we are intimating to Hashem that these are the species which require your input. You have to give us the rain. And there is a Perish, we say Arvei Nochal, of course, that certainly talks about water when it comes to the Arovas. The Lulav is the Gematria of 68, which is the same word as Chaim. And Prietz Hodor, although the Esrog is called a beautiful fruit, the word Hodor, if you bring it out to Greek and even English languages, the phonetic relationship to hydro. Hydro is water. There's a Gemara on Sukkah, Lamed Hay, which alludes to that. So we are hoping for water. And of course, what happens in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot? Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach, which is a davar shel simcha, it's a happy event. But the whole idea of putting water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot is to allude to the fact that we need water to continue with Gishmei Brocha. Interestingly, Mechal Kel Chayim, where we're mentioning rain, is 51 words, which is the gematria of no, which means please. So it's all intimated there. So we can't pray for rain till Shemini Atzeret, or we can't mention rain. As I said, we're not really asking for rain. It did once happen in the 1960s that there was a certain mischievous young man in this very shul who decided that when the chazan says the new Mashiv Racham Reda Goshem, because we've only been saying it for one day, so on Simchas Torah he arranged for a cup of water to be lodged on a window level above. This was before we moved into this building and we were in the school building, and there was a ledge above where the chazan stood, and he pulled the cord just as he said to make the fellow drenched. Well, it may have been funny the first time, it wasn't funny the second, third and fourth time. And the truth is that when the chazan says Mashiv Ruach Avreda Goshem, he's not asking for rain, he's praising. And all of us, when we say it, we are praising Hashem for rain, and that is the starter, so to speak, because only afterwards, when we're actually saying the same Talmud Motar, are we asking please send the rain. So we ask, why is everything at different times? We've said that with Mazkir Geshom in Shemini Atzeres, we are. Saint Talu Motar is later, 7th of Cheshvan. It's 2 weeks after. Why are they not all at the same time? And to ask for, in England, we say the Saint Talu Motar from the 5th, sometimes it's the 6th of December. Well, why do we start talking about December? You know, we've got Jewish months, Tishri, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves. What's this whole deal about December? Where else do you find December in Jewish law? For that matter, any month. Well, there are, in fact, I think three times when we use the solar calendar for halacha. One is Pesach has to be in the spring, which is after the spring equinox, so we're relying on the solar calendar for that. So this year Pesach was the earliest possible it could ever be, the 26th of March. It may not be any earlier than that, even though the spring equinox is said to be
1899.
Well, it was earlier than the 26th of March.
1700. It was one day earlier.
All right. Well, although we think the spring equinox is the 21st of March, the Sefer Kuzri Sheni explains that it can't really be earlier than the 26th on the current now calendar nowadays. He does a cheshbon. The second thing, as you've just mentioned, David, is Birkas HaChamah, that on the 8th of April every 28 years we say a brocha relating to the sun. And that is, of course, according to the solar calendar. And the same time of Motar is the third thing where we also go according to the solar calendar.
There's another one.
There is another one?
The number of portions of Tzivos which were prepared are based on the solar
Wow. Thank you, Henry. Very good. Okay, this question is still, why do we resort to the solar calendar? So, dealing first with Mashiv HaRuach, well, we don't want it to rain on Sukkot. So when it comes then to the same title of Motzah, then it's, the Mishnah in Tanis, the first perek says, "Begimul Cheshvan Sholin Zakashomim." There's an argument. The Tanakhama says, on the third of Cheshvan you ask for rain, Raman Galil b'Shivabo. The seventh of Cheshvan you ask for rain, and this is relating to Eretz Yisrael, which is 2 weeks after the end of Yom Tov. And the reason is given because people who are Ole L'Regel to Yerushalayim, we don't want to cause them suffering by going back home in the rain. We can't ask for rain while they're going on their long journeys, and the journeys in that times were a bit more difficult than now. They were muddy, unpaved roads. They didn't necessarily stay in hotels. They had tents, and to actually go from the first area, which is given as Nahar Peros, the river Euphrates, in Bovel, where they would come walking to Eretz Yisrael, there were no Eged buses, so we allow them 2 weeks to get back home. And if they do have lots of rain on their way back home, it may discourage them from coming back for Ola L'Regel the following year. Ah, so you might ask the question, why is it then that we don't stop saying the same Tzaddik Motzah 2 weeks before Pesach? If they are coming out for Pesach, then surely they're going to suffer then. Well, there are a number of reasons given for that. Number one, once you start saying it, you don't really want to stop Gishmei Barocha. Number two, they're still wearing their winter clothes anyway. And thirdly, Shluchei Mitzvah Einon Nizokin. They're coming to Yerushalayim to do the Mitzvah Ola L'Regel, so we're not expecting them to come to undue harm. Whereas when they're going home, you might say it's a Hechsher Mitzvah.
That's my plea.
Yeah, alright. But when they're going home, they're not actually coming to Yerushalayim. So the Ritva says the first opinion in the Mishnah about the third of Cheshvan is because most people by then are home already. So we can start then. But the halacha is we wait for everybody to get home, which is the 7th of Cheshvan. Ah, you'll say to me, but nowadays there's no Ola L'Regel. This argument in the Mishnah, this was after the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. So why is there an argument in the Mishnah about after the Churban Beis HaMikdosh about the 3rd or the 7th of Cheshvan? Surely, you know, now that Beis HaMikdosh doesn't stand anymore, we can start asking for rain the day after, or the same time as Shmini Atzeres, when we say Mashi Rachem Ad Goshem. Surely then we should say the same time of Otar as soon as we start saying the weekday Shemona Esra. So the Ritva says something interesting. He says you can start straight away afterwards, but we don't paskin like him. Why not? The Ran says because when Rabbi Eliezer is talking Mishnah, he's talking about after the Churban. He says because many people are going to Yerushalayim even after the Churban Beis HaMikdosh to spend time in Eretz Yisrael, to spend time in Yerushalayim as a Zecher, because it's so dear to us that the temple should be rebuilt and we want to continue the clock being wound up. So people are going to Eretz Yisrael even after the destruction of the temple, and we will allow for them to get home after Sukkot before we start saying the same Tanu Motar. So we're told by the Gemara that in Chutz Laaretz we do it according to Bovel. In Bovel they start saying Saint Tanu Motar 60 days after the autumn equinox, and that's how you get the solar calendar, the autumn equinox. It would have been the 22nd or 23rd of September, and the Beis Yosef Kotz Navadrom 60 days later is the 22nd of November. So how do we get to the 5th of December? Well, in 1584, well, there was the Julian calendar, now we have the Gregorian calendar. Pope Gregory made a 10-day difference when it was realised that, well, there's a mistake. Yes.
I don't understand why the Rabbanon didn't know. They knew when they came up twice. Why didn't they every
Rabbanon
years move it a day back? So when they move the calendar 11 days forward, they would be on the right day.
Yeah, well,
11 days out.
Yeah, because there's a machlokas between Rav Ado and Shmuel, which we once discussed when we spoke about the Jewish calendar. And Shmuel's measurement of 365 1/4 days is approximate to make easier calculations. But even Shmuel agrees that the correct calculation is Rav Ado, which is more minute. So it's something like a difference of 11 minutes, which makes a difference every single year. So over a period of 100 years, you will get perhaps a day. So the calculation works out that in 1585 it was the 2nd of December after Pope Gregory's change, but then if you have an adjustment for every 100 years after that, you skip 1600 and the year 2000 because it's divisible by 4, but you add a day for 1700, 1800 and 1900, which makes a difference of 13 days, and you get to the 5th of December.
If you see the old Singer's Prayer Book published,
yes,
in the 9th century, it says the 3rd of December.
The 3rd of December. I remember as a child seeing in the Singers the 4th of December.
So that was the next
year. Yeah, but we no longer do it on the 4th. So it does move slightly ahead every 100 years.
The 5th of December is not 60 days after the equinox. It's
17-1,
isn't it?
Ah, well, the true equinox, because of those changes, it does work out that way. Because it's not really the 22nd of September. It works out into October, based on the changes of Pope Gregory. Anyway,
saying in reality, the scientific equinox is the 21st of September.
All right, this is getting more technical. I'd rather not go down that path in detail. But it was the difference that Pope Gregory made, plus the difference every 100 years that it moves ahead because of that extra 11 minutes per year, that we come now to the 5th of December. Now, why is it that Bovel starts at a later stage? So Rashi explains the Fishu Mokam Nomuch. It's a lower level, and they don't need so much rain at the beginning of the planting season, whereas Eretz Yisrael does need it. But you might say to me, well, you know, if we're based on Bovel, why are we, the whole world is based on what is now Iraq? Who cares about Iraq when we are based in the United Kingdom, or there are hot countries like Spain, or then there's the Southern Hemisphere, there's Australia. You know, do we really base ourselves on Bovel, on Iraq, even nowadays? And this question has been already raised by the Rishonim. And the Rambam talks about this Hilchos Tefillah in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin. He says, in other areas where you need rain at other times, B'sher Atzos, in other countries, he says, you can be flexible by saying the same Tanum Otto in your Shema'at Tefillah. And it's inferred by him and others shown him that you might change your same Tanum Otto accordingly in the Borech Aleinu prayer. But there are differences of opinion. In fact, some people find it destructive to have rain at certain times of the year, and we'll come to that in a moment. And there's a Gemara about the Bnei Nineveh who came to Rebbe saying, you know, it doesn't really suit us, this timetable. We need rain even in the summer. What should we do? So it was felt that they're like individuals, because they were a small place, and they were told, say it in the Shema Koleinu, that anything you can say in Shema Koleinu, any prayer you want, any prayer about yourself, you can say it in English. If any prayer you want, you can say in the middle of Shema Koleinu, you can say the same Talmud Moson. But they were decided to be Yechidim. But the question is, of course, what if it's a large community? So the Rosh had a question put before him in his Chuvas in Perek Dalud, in paragraph 10. There the Rosh was brought a problem which happened in Spain, and it was the first night of Pesach, and of course once Pesach comes along, we stop saying the same Talmud Motar, and they hadn't had any rain at all during the winter. So they were in a crisis. It was the year 5073, which is approximately 700 years ago. So it's exactly. We're now 5774. 701 years ago, there was no winter rain. So they were saying, how can we possibly stop saying the same Talmud Motor? At least let's carry on till Shavuos, because the rain between Pesach and Shavuos is very beneficial for us. Especially in many Western countries, it's beneficial for the crops which are not going to be picked till the end of the summer, that they get the rain through the summer. So why should we stop saying the same Talmud Motor? So his opinion was, carry on. Carry on saying the same Talmud Motor. We need it, we'll ask for it. And although there is this common conception that when you say the same Talmud Motor, it's for Eretz Yisrael, and when you look through the halacha, it's really relating to the place where you yourself live. And you will be asking for rain for the place where you reside, if that's the case. So the Rosh said, so carry on. But people were not happy. There was a big rebellion going on in Spain at that time, saying you can't change tradition, and it's like reform, and how can you change this? And we've always had certain times, the same time of Mozart. But the Rosh told the Chazan, look, carry on mentioning rain. Well, there was a big argument about it, but when you read the Rosh, he writes at the end, and because this is such an emergency situation that we care and pray for rain, I'm even writing this Teshuvah on Chol HaMoed, which I would not normally wish to do, but he wrote his Teshuvah on Chol HaMoed Pesach in order to stress the importance of carrying on asking for rain. He said it'll avoid the Chilul Hashem, it's Tzurach Yom Tov, if we get rain, you know. It's all part of it. And he said, you know, Spain is not Nineveh. Nineveh was a small place. Spain is a huge country. And therefore, change.
Nineveh was Ir HaGedolah.
Well, then it was Ir HaGedolah. But I think later on it there was some migration going on, I guess.
He was an Ashkenazi God, though. So it would have been controversial for him to start fasting.
Maybe that's why. Yeah, most of the opinions in Spain at that time were the Sephardim. But the Ritva also came onto this question, and he said, it's true, why do we have to depend on Iraq when we're davening for rain? You know, we're all different countries. Why can't we just do it according to ourselves? But he said, we don't really want 60 or 70 different versions of when different people are saying the same time of Motor. And therefore, according to the Ritva, we leave it as it is, but if you feel you need rain at other times, then ask for it, but ask for it in the Shema Kolein. And therefore the Beis Yosef says that what was instituted in Babel, we continue, in general terms. Yes, well, yeah, because really, there are different issues. In praying for rain, we've got, of course, our Shemini Atzeres, Mashiv Urach, then we've got the Saint Talmud Motor. But when I was in Israel a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, there was a big crisis that there was no rain. And in the Shema Koleinu, there is a prayer which you see in the Siddurim, adding for rain, begging for rain. And it's a crisis, and people have to start fasting as well. The Gemara in Tanis is full of that. In 1898, a Rav Hirschkowitz from Australia wrote to Rav Shmuel Salant, asking, do we really start on the 5th of December? We're in Australia. And on the 5th of December, you know, it's midsummer. And it wouldn't really match. And Rav Salant answered saying, you must go according to the psak of the chief rabbi of England. Rabbi Nathan Marcus Adler, who in fact was recommended for the post of chief rabbi by Queen Victoria. Listen to our events in England here. And the situation was that Rav Adler was minded to follow the Beis Yosef saying, we apply Bovel everywhere. Well, he was the chief rabbi not just of the UK, but also of the Commonwealth, which included Australia, the British Empire. Sorry, not the Commonwealth, the British Empire, on which the sun never set. So he felt like not rocking the boat. So he said, we say the same Talmud motto everywhere. Maybe he had in mind Eretz Yisrael, but he said, but if you wish, say the same Talmud motto in your other times there when you need the rain, in your Shema Koleinu. But there is a difference of many opinions. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, in chapter Kuf Yud Zayin, Aleph, he says, it's true, we follow Bovel on Halochas, but when it comes to rain, it goes according to your need. And therefore, you adjust your Saint Talmud Motor according to when you yourself need it in your particular location. But he seems to be a minority view. The Sheva Halevi was asked this question in his Chelek Aleph, chapter Chaf Aleph, from somebody who was in Uruguay, a Rav Leitner. And Uruguay is South America, where the climatic conditions are a bit different to Australia. And there, they need the rain from Pesach till Sukkot, which is just the time when we're not saying any prayers for rain. And he said to him that if we ask for rain from the 5th of December, it's an actual klala. It's not just that, okay, we're carrying on what Bovel did. We are cursing ourselves if we're asking for rain from the 5th of December. So he refers to the Rambam about other countries, and he says, one should say in their winter, in Birchas Hashanim, that was his psak, that you do say the same Talmud Motor during their winter in Uruguay, but not everybody follows Rav Osner's opinion. The Tzitz Eliezer writes on this in Chelik Yudalud, Sadi Gimel. He's not happy about changing the status quo, but he says If it's going to cause harm, then of course you don't ask for rain. But if it's not going to cause harm, you can carry on asking. The Betzel HaChochmah, Rabbi Betzalel Stern, asks this question in Chelek Vav, Pehei. He quotes the Eishel Avram, and he's asked this question, the Eishel Avram, regarding Brazil, where they need rain from Nisan to Tishri. And if it's at other times of the year, like Uruguay, it harms. So he said, just say nothing. Just say nothing at all. If we're going to continue the status quo of what they did in Babel, well, just don't say anything at the time when it harms. And say in your Shomea Tefillah, when you want the rain, and when you need the rain, then ask for it. That you'll say the same bracha, rather than, yeah. Although Tal on its own is a bracha all the year round. Every single one of the Sholosh Regalim we get Tal, and we do not get Geshem, or we don't ask for Geshem in any of the Sholosh Regalim. Tal is always a bracha. But it's the word Motor which is the possible troublemaker in South America. The Rambam Chas Yitzchok Dainweis was asked from somebody in Argentina the same question, and he said, conform to what the rest of the world is doing, provided that it's not causing you any harm. If it's causing you harm, just don't say it. So those are the differences between South America and Australia. And so in the summer in Australia, Rav Adler was saying, keep to what everybody else is doing. No Mashiva Ruach from Pesach to Tishri. No Talu Mota from Pesach to Tishri. If no harm, say both of those from Tishri to Nisan. And when you want rain and you need rain, ask for it in the Shomea Tefillah. Now, you'll say to me, right, you mentioned earlier that we allow 2 weeks in Eretz Yisrael for people to travel back. But what will happen in the future, the time of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, will people need 2 weeks to travel back from Jerusalem to their respective homes, even if they're living in... Well, even if people are located in Chutz Laaretz, because there will be people on the outskirts. Well, if in northern Israel, in the greater Israel, it will take time to travel to some of these places, but with Eged buses, you should manage it in one day. I shouldn't say too much about Eged buses, but... Somebody once asked me about a certain Rov, whether I felt he was, they were doing an opinion poll about this new Rov for the shul, and I was asked my opinion, and he gave a nice speech, this Rov, and he asked me what I felt. I said, yeah, but I'd like a rabbi who puts the fear of God into me. He said, oh, you can get an Eged bus to do that. I mean, really, in England it's not nearly that much rain. We only have rain here twice a year, from January to June and from June to December. So what will be the case in the future? The Sanhedrin will be able to change the rule, because it's not based on a posuk in the Torah. In the case of Korban Pesach, it says of a derech lo hayom. And if you're not on the way, then you don't bring Korban Pesach. So Chazal darshan, if you're not on the way, which means within 15 kilometers of Jerusalem, then you don't bring Korban Pesach until Pesach Sheni. So it's based on a pasuk. So according to Rav Shimon Weizer Shlita, he said, when it's based on a pasuk, and Chazal made a drosha about journey times, then it sticks. What they ruled for all time. Well, the Tiferes Yisrael asks this question in the ninth parak of Pesachim. He says, surely in the future things will change. He said, the trains have come out, we've got quick travel, so surely it should be changed in the future. But then he says, I changed my mind. He says, the Gemara in Pesachim Tzadi Aleph, which says if you've got a fast horse and you can get to Jerusalem quicker than everybody else within that time, outside that 15 mil, maybe you should then bring Korban Pesach. Talmud Loma, v'derech lo hayom. No, we stick to what Chazal darshan. They had other reasons as well, which they didn't give. So they darshaned on the pasuk, 15 kilometers. Fine. But when it comes to the same Talmud motto, it's not based on any pasuk. It's based on climatic conditions prevailing at that particular time. So Chazal ruled that it takes 15 days for people to travel. In the future, it won't take 15 days to travel. I mean, you can get from New York to Jerusalem in a day. Therefore, it is very likely, he says, that the Sanhedrin will change it, unless it's ruled by the climatologists and meteorologists and the agricultural experts, that it's not good to have rain until later. There is a Rashi which says that the good time for rain, it really starts from 2 weeks after Sukkot. You know, the planting season, you don't want to be drenched too quickly, etc. But that's something which will be decided on, b'merbi omeinu, in the future when the Sanhedrin will deliberate. Now, there is a rule that if you say Murid Hatol, then if you forgot Mashiv Racham Rado Goshim, you don't have to go back. So we start saying Mashiv Racham Rado Goshim, which means Atzeres. If you forgot it, you have to go back. It's important to say it. But if you are either Nusach Sfad, who say Murid Hatol, or you come from Eretz Yisrael where everybody says Murid Hatol, then you don't have to go back. Why not? Tal is not the same as Motor. Tal is not the same thing. So the Beis Yosef talks about this. He says, because when we're starting Mashiv Racham Rado Goshem, it's Mazkirim. Mazkirim, we're mentioning it. We're not asking yet really for rain. And since we're only mentioning it, then since you said Tal, okay, good enough. The Kesef Mishnah also says it asks on this. He says, since by saying Murid HaTol, you have already shown Hashem's Gevura, under the bracha of Ator Gibor, you're already talking about Hashem's Gevurah relating to precipitation, then that's good enough for the moment. You don't, alright, the Chachila, you should still say Mashiv Racham Rado Goshem, but you don't have to go back. And Tal is a very special bracha. It's Chaim La'olam. And therefore, if you say it, then okay. But when it comes to saying the same Tal U'Motar, if you only said Marin Atal, it's not good enough. The same Tal U'Motar, you have to go back. There are no compromises. Because there, you're actually asking for the rain. Rain, then, is something which is very unique to our lives. And if I can go back to the Sedra of Bereshis, well, Shabbos Bereshis is raining next week, so there's no reason why I shouldn't quote from it. If you go through the 6 days of creation, there's absolutely nothing said about rain. Where is the rain created? So we know that the plant life was created in the week, right? Yeah, but then when we come to afterwards, by Chulu Hashemai Vetzuchel Tzvom, we talk about Shabbos, and then straight after that, Eila Todos Hashemayim, and then the first pasuk after that is V'chol Siach Asod Eterem Yeh Baretz, V'chol Esev Asod Eterem Yitzmoch, Ki Lohim Tir Hashem Elokim Es Ala Oretz. Hashem had not yet delivered any rain. There was no rain in the 6 days of creation. Why not? Says Rashi, because Hashem waited for Adam HaRishon to be created, and Adam would realize that there is a need for rain. Adam HaRishon will daven for rain, and as soon as he davened for rain, the plant life which had already been created, which are just lying below the surface, then sprouted and then came up. So Hashem waited on all the issues of creation. Hashem would not deal with it during the first 6 days. For rain, Hashem waited for prayer. And this is a very significant idea. Adam had the chokhmah. Adam had the chokhmah to see the world, see its beauty. He was in a different kind of environment to what we're in. And he had the chokhmah to realize that rain was needed. Maybe he saw there was such a thing as a rain cycle, you know, wind and sun and so on. But he had chokhmah, and with his chokhmah he realized there's a need for rain. And that made him daven for it, and as he davened, then Hashem delivered it. So there is something which is a Maisa Beria, part of creation, but which was delayed to wait for Tefillah. We need Tefillah for rain. And what is so significant about rain? Alright, it's our sustenance. If there'd be no rain, not only would we have no water to drink, and the rivers and seas would dry up, and the fish would die, so you can't eat any fish, and the animals would not have sustenance, so you wouldn't be able to eat any meat. So you can't have your fruit, you can't have your vegetables, you can't have your... What can you eat? You won't be able to eat... All right, genetically modified... everything we eat comes from the ground in some form or another, or from the rain. Without rain, we would all perish. Perish the thought. So, there's something more to it than that, no. Because it's not just part of the 6 days of creation we're talking about, in terms of the Brios HaOlam. Rain is continuous. Rain we need continuously every single season. I'm not talking about England now, but we need rain all the time, and therefore we say in the mornings, Hamachadesh Batua Bekolyam Tomid Maaseh Bereishis, Hashem is renewing His creation all the time, every single day. And what better example is that to illustrate that than with rain? Because that is the creation continuing. Without the rain, we won't exist. The world can't function. And the Brias Olam is not just the initial creation, but it's a continuous maintenance of the world which Hashem is doing for us. Hence the importance of davening for rain.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
So, what's the significance when Hashem created the waters above and the waters below?
Yeah, I should ask that. Surely that was the latent rain, that He created the water which was then available to become rain.
Okay, it was there ready in situ, awaiting the prayer. Okay, that's apart from the rain cycle. But nothing would come down and precipitate until the davening started.
But it was created.
Yes. Yeah, everything was created in ready for the action. But the action wouldn't come until the davening started. There's an interesting idea which Rav Shalom Shvadron writes when he talks about the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos. He says, talks about the Chochmei HaChimio, the scientists who are experts in chemistry, who are analysing rain and how it's different from any other possible source. And he talks about the Dalad Minim, the Arba Minim on Sukkos, which we take, which we tie together in terms of Achdus, it's a symbol of unity, and we talked about the Nisach HaMayim, is also a remez to Achdus B'Yisrael. How does this relate to rain? He says, at the time of the flood of Noach, what happened? Why was the flood of Noach brought? He said, Mishum Gezel, because of theft. You'd think some big deluge which floods the world might be for even greater Averis, but we're told, and Rashi brings this, that the reason for the flood was because of theft. He says, what happens with theft? He says, people are intruding and trespassing on other people's property. By stealing, you are taking from somebody else's property and taking it into your own. He says, the idea of rain is that Hashem sends it in delicate raindrops to each and every property, but if you are transgressing the idea of trespass and you are intermingling other people's property into your own, then those raindrops, which each go through their designated kinds of holes, so to speak, become distorted, and therefore you become flooded, because the rain which was due for other people's property also comes into your property. Midah keneged midah, hence the flood. And that's the idea of the flood at the time of Noah. But when it comes to the Aguda, the tying together of the Arba Minim, that all different kinds of Jews show Achdus and togetherness, so they're not stealing from each other, and the Nisuch HaMayim, which is in the temple service where we are showing Achdus and peace as well, that is what we are reflecting for the future, that the kind of rain Hashem gives should not be flood water, because that's also a klala. It should be simple, ordinary rain in terms of its raindrops. And as we all know, the story of Choni HaMagal, who was davening for rain, and he drew a circle and he said, I won't go away from here until rain comes. Then it came down in a drizzle, and the cynic said, oh, it's only coming down in a small amount just so that you are released from your obligation and your vow. So he davened hard, and then harsh rain came down. He said to Hashem, no, that's a klal, I don't want that either. I just like ordinary rain. And then Hashem sent ordinary rain because this guy was such a big tzaddik. There is an interesting book, a recent book called Fossils and Faith, by somebody called Aviezer, who does a whole chapter, Nathan Aviezer, he does a whole chapter on the idea of rain in creation and Torah and science, that it's rain which symbolizes Hashem's Gevurah, His might. And he says how scientists nowadays, however advanced they are unable to to predict more than a week ahead when it comes to the subject of rain. You know, when you're planning your garden party 3 months ahead, you would really like to know what sort of weather you're going to have. He says it's absolutely impossible for scientists now and even ever in the future to be able to predict what sort of weather you will have in 3 months' time. So you just need to take out an insurance policy for your garden party. But if that's the case, he says it can never ever happen. And he says, we never pray for... There are two kinds of miracles, he says. There are those which are hidden, those which are overt. We never pray for the sun to shine tomorrow morning, because that's part of the procedure. We know it's going to happen. So though it's miraculous as part of Hashem's creation, we don't daven for that to happen. In fact, you don't really daven for miracles to happen, but we do daven for rain. Why? Because it's so different each time, depending on so many different factors when it comes to the different aspects of climate, the temperature, the air pressure, the moisture levels, the cloud cover, the wind speed, so many different determining factors. And he explains that when you start working out statistically how many different factors can influence the weather, there's something that they call the butterfly effect, that when a butterfly flaps its wings in Tokyo, it can affect the weather which will come to Tel Aviv. This is how amazing the weather is. So the one issue which really goes against the atheists is Hashem's miraculous way of giving us rain. That the world is sustained. Alright, there's some places which are flooded and there's some places which have drought, but there is enough food in the world for everybody to eat. And the atheists who seem to claim that everything is by accident, if just something small goes wrong with the rain, if, for example, the sun is 93 million miles away, if it would only be 1 million miles nearer, we would all shrivel up. If it would only be 1 million miles further away, we would not be able to sustain ourselves, we would freeze up. The way Hashem has organized everything, which the atheists claim that everything is accident, gives us a chizuk on our emunah. We become exalted when we think about Mikolos Mayim Rabbi Madirim. When it talks about water and we think about rain, it's something which is so miraculous through the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when we're davening for it, we're davening for our own very lives. And that's why Hashem leaves it till after Yom Kippur, because by then he's shown us his Midas Rachamim, he's shown us his infinite mercy. So we won't daven for rain on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Once we've been through that teshuva process and we can then come to Hashem with a clean slate, then we can hope for a better mercy for the thing which we really need most, to give us rachamim after our importance on Yom Kippur, after Moshe Rabbeinu has come down with the second luchos on Yom Kippur, or Motzei Yom Kippur, which is today. We can then look forward, hopefully, to a rain-free sukkos, but a good crop afterwards in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe not too much damaging rain in England. Thank you very much. Good luck to the Torah.